Today's first reading and psalm focus on the priest, the Old Testament priest, Melchizedek. This gives us an opportunity to reflect again on the priesthood. Step back a little bit from what you think of the priesthood, because all Catholics think of the priests, first of all, as the Catholic priest. But get the more generic understanding of the priest. So the Jewish priests, the priests of whatever primitive tribe, the priest of the Aztecs, or any priest, and any religion, almost every religion has some kind of priest. And the priest figure, or priestess, the priest figures are those who offer the sacrifice. Priesthood is connected to sacrifice. They offer the sacrifice on behalf of the people, for the sake of the people. They're the priests are the intermediaries between the gods and men. So it's a very powerful position to have. And if you think of what you know about different societies, especially in earlier eras, the priest had a very, very important and very powerful role in the society, which makes it an attractive position for someone who wants power. The traditional way of preventing the priesthood from becoming the object of power grabs is that it was considered a inherited position. And in almost every religion, that's what it is. Priesthood is inherited. If your father's a priest, you can be a priest. If you're from a priestly family, you can serve as in the priestly line. And this is what the Jews did. Of course, the Jews were also inspired by God to do it this way, because God guided the chosen people. But it's not impossible to think that they also saw the value of this from the tribes or peoples around them, that if it's an inherited thing, then you can't just choose it if you want to gain prominence in the society. In the Jewish tradition, of the 12 tribes, one of the tribes, tribe of Levi, was designated as the priestly tribe. And the Levites did not have an inheritance of property. They didn't have a territory. They could go anywhere. So it was a very wise, even looked at from a very human standpoint, a wise balance. That way they have spiritual power, but they don't have any money, have any temporal force. So it's kind of a balancing act. In the new order established by Jesus Christ, we have priests who are not priests by inheritance. So then the question comes up, well, what kind of a priest is that? And it's all based on the priesthood of Jesus Christ, whose priesthood is different from all other priesthoods. It's a different order of priesthood. Now, to reflect on this, the Christians look back to the mysterious figure of Melchizedek, who appears way back in the book of Genesis. Melchizedek, who is not only a priest, he's also a king. So he has this combination of power and spiritual authority. He's a priest-king. He just appears out of nowhere, blesses Abraham, receives the tithe of Abraham, and disappears. And there's no mention of him again until Psalm 110, which is the psalm we prayed just a moment ago. It's a psalm speaking about the Messiah, a prophetic psalm of the Messiah. And the Messiah is going to be a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. Now, there's no mention of Melchizedek again in any other psalms or any other place in the Bible until you get to the book of or the letter to the Hebrews, which is where our first reading comes from. And in the letter to the Hebrews, there's a quite developed reflection on Melchizedek and priesthood and everything. Now, why does Hebrews go into this? Because Jesus has established a new covenant. And if there's a new covenant, well, then there has to be a new system of law. And if there's a new system of law, there has to be a new priesthood. And so everything's new. Well, what is it? How does it work? the figure of Melchizedek gives a hint. He's a priest forever. According to this new order, it says in the letter to the Hebrews, he is a priest not by a law expressed in a commandment concerning physical descent. He didn't inherit the priesthood. But by the power of a life that cannot be destroyed. Well, who has a life that cannot be destroyed? Only God. And Jesus Christ makes that divine, undestroyable life available to us by adopting us into the divine family. So that's the new order of priesthood. So the new priest is Jesus Christ, and the new order of the priesthood is the order of Melchizedek, a priest that it remains a priest forever. You see, every other priesthood ends when the priest dies, or the priestess. There's no such thing as remaining a priest after you die, until you get to Jesus Christ, who dies and rises again, and he remains a priest forever. He still intercedes for us. He's still offering the sacrifice of himself for us, and that offering is made present at every Mass. So that's what we're the beneficiaries of. Now, the men in the Catholic Church who received the ordination, the sacrament of holy orders, are given a share in the one priesthood of Christ. It is still a danger that someone might aspire to the priesthood for the sake of power. And the power grab mentality has not disappeared from the human family. It was existed in the Old Testament, New Testament, and certainly in modern times. Pope Francis has repeatedly warned against this temptation among priests, the clericalism, the problem of clericalism. But even though that danger remains, the nature of the priesthood is not based on power or choice or human capability. It's all based on Jesus Christ and his desire that his sacrifice be made available in every generation by the sacraments. Now, the recipients of the sacrament of holy orders are not the only priests. Everyone baptized is a priest. And you, I'm sure, have been taught this. When we're baptized, we are given a share in the kingship and the priesthood and the prophetic ministry of Jesus Christ. We are all kings. We are all priests. We are all prophets. We all have a responsibility to offer sacrifice. And because of the sacrament of baptism, we can participate in the Mass. Now, the ordained priest and the priesthood of the baptized is different, but it's all connected to the priesthood of Jesus Christ. We can all offer the one sacrifice of Jesus Christ in different ways in the Mass. That's why when you come to Mass, you're not just watching the priest perform the sacrifice. You are participants. It's my sacrifice and yours. You know, the priest says that when he prepares the gifts. My sacrifice and yours. The sacrifice of the ordained priest is he's acting in the name, in the power of Jesus Christ, but the body of Christ is participating by baptism. Okay, enough theology. But you see how beautiful it is that this new priesthood, this new order of priesthood, this priesthood that does never come to an end, it's an eternal priesthood, is made available to us. Now we take a moment to look at the priest in action in the synagogue, where Jesus, this is today's gospel, Jesus cures a man with a withered hand. Remember, Jesus was acting with authority, he was speaking with authority, he was doing things that the priests, the Pharisees, the Levites, did not like. They felt their, talk about power, mentality of power, they felt their power or their authority was being threatened. So at the beginning of this gospel, there's a man with the withered hand, and then there's the Pharisees who are watching closely to try to catch Jesus violating the law. Their attitude is, this man Jesus is evil, an evil man, and he has to be destroyed. By the end of the gospel, we see the mentality of the Pharisees exposed fully because Jesus does the miracle. And it says, the last line of the gospel here, the Pharisees went out and immediately took counsel with the Herodians against him to put him to death. Now, plotting someone's death on the Sabbath is certainly a violation of the Sabbath law. They have forgotten all about the Sabbath laws that they claim to be upholding, and they're collaborating with the Herodians. Now, the Herodians are the political operators. They're like the lobbyists. They're like, that's the political order. So they, you see how they're subjecting their spiritual authority to political power to gain their own end, to accomplish their own will. Exactly the opposite of what a priest is supposed to do, exactly the opposite of what a disciple of God is supposed to do. You see how bad their condition is. Jesus, the high priest, walks into the context of their opposition, their violent opposition, and he deliberately reveals his authority again. Yeah, he helps the man with the withered hand. That's the central focus of what he does. But he does it with this larger purpose in mind. He wants to reveal the new covenant, the new law, the new priesthood, the new opportunity for salvation that comes from his intercession. And he's opening it up to the Pharisees too. Don't you want this? Isn't it good to do good on the Sabbath? Rather than evil? Isn't it a good thing to save life? I'm here to save your life. And they say, without speaking, no, we don't want our life saved. We don't want our life saved by you. We want your life to be destroyed. Now, their plot, as we know, backfires because Jesus does get sacrificed, and he makes it a priestly offering. The sacrifice of the high priest is the sacrifice of himself, and it's that sacrifice that has saved all of us, the new sacrifice, the new Lamb of God. This is our sacrifice too. What do we have to offer to God? We're not offering lambs and goats and bulls. And whatever we do offer, any little offerings we bring, or money or goods, those are just tokens. What we have is ourselves. This is what we offer to God. This is our priestly sacrifice. Our will, our freedom, we can offer to God. And that is the way we participate in the sacrifice of Christ. He offered himself, we are his body, we offer ourselves with him. We participate in the work of salvation. So that's a great privilege for us, and it's good that we understand it so that we will enter into it fully. When a problem comes up today, and today something will come up that goes against our will, we can make it an offering, a priestly offering, a sacrifice with the sacrifice of Christ for our salvation and the salvation of the world. Thanks be to God.